We're going to go ahead and get started right here at 6:30. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We are going to present a little bit of information. We're pleased to recognize our Board of Education members of some we have here. Mrs. Guggenmiller's here, and Mr. Wendell's here. And at the last session out in the stands, we had Mr. Lefevre and Mr. Weerkamp were here. So thank you for their participation on the Board of Education, and we certainly appreciate their service. January is Board Appreciation Month, so they're planting a seed, so we appreciate it. Here's your administrative team that's going to present tonight. I'm going to do most of the talking, so sorry about that. But we're going to have Mr. Overland, Mrs. Toby, and Mrs. Kanapke, and Mr. Stahl all join in for specific slides. So once again, thanks for their participation in this. I think I got a different shirt on today. Yeah, I do have a different shirt. Seem to wear those same purple shirts all the time. So the district has 931, not today, but at some point we had 931. I think it was the first day of school. And those are K to 12 students. We have 39 students attending the TriStar Career Center on a half-day basis, and they either go in the morning or in the afternoon. We have 107 total staff members. Of that, 66 are certified either administrators or teachers, and additionally we have 41 support staff members who do a super job for our school district, and we appreciate their service. The district operates on $10,872,000 a year. Hopefully that doesn't go up a lot, but inflation does have a factor on the spending that we do. 63 square miles for the district, and that's a lot of territory to cover with our buses. 6.6 students meet the classification of economically disadvantaged, which is relatively low in comparison. There are some districts that have 50 to 60 to 90% economically disadvantaged. So we're fortunate in our community. Our district support comes from local tax revenue, state foundation money, grants, state grants, and additionally some federal dollars that we do receive. Part of that's dependent on the 6.6 economically disadvantaged. So with a lower number, you don't get a lot of federal dollars for that. So our district food service program, fortunately, has not had to use funds from the general fund. They've been self-sufficient, self-reliant, and since 2009, so over 11 years now. And that our kitchens provide 16,000 meals a month for our students, like you, right? Yeah. There's a happy lunch provider. We're proud to have our own preschool program, thanks to Mrs. Diller, our coordinator. And it's a five-star rating, and that's not easy to attain. You have to click a lot of boxes to get a five-star rating. So we appreciate all the work that's done there. We have the lowest percentage of students with special identification needs at 9.4, a little under 10%. Some of the districts in our area are at 12, 15%. So we don't over-identify students that have special needs. And our buses travel over 450 miles a day. So you can get, if you were on one of those buses, you can get past Toronto in one day if you just rode all those miles. So we have a nice campus set up, and that's one of the benefits of our community. That makes things go a lot smoother, having been on at least close proximity. I did show on there a plan for a future transportation addition next to the current transportation building, and in addition, a future softball baseball complex that will be added in the future with the support of our boosters. So we'll enhance the softball field, and we're also going to add a baseball field on that site. So here's just some of our facilities. We certainly appreciate and try to take the best care we can of these facilities. We have some people here that do a great job of cleaning and maintaining them. For the last several years, we've had Indian Way initiative to ensure that our values and our behaviors create a certain outcomes for our students, and our principals and staff members have done a great job of incorporating that into instruction, incorporating that in incentive programs and just trying to get the best attitude out of our students throughout their school day and their school year. Last Monday night, we had a board kind of retreat session, and we had a consultant come, a former board member, and he worked with our board to go over some communication ideas, some roles and responsibilities, and were, I think, especially helpful in working together, and positive experience for Mr. Wendell. I think they went out of it with some learning. So they spent about 3 hours there listening and learning. So we appreciate that. From that, we did have some kind of a key result of that to confirm that we need to have a definitive long-range plan for our school district. So we're going to be working on that in the future. In communication, we've done made some improvements. We had a facelift of our website. In addition, we've had some increase in the amount of followers for our Facebook, Twitter, and we've added Instagram. And our buildings are starting to incorporate those also. But we have had Lindsay back there helping get all that done and increase that. So she's kind of our social media guru. So we appreciate all the people that also contribute to things. And we kind of retweet and reshare other people's information with the results if it's about Fort Recovery students. Okay, I'm getting close to my end of my slides, but I do want to share just some information about taxes. And the next slide is going to have a graph, a chart that shows where our funding levels are and the contribution for each student in the area of effective millage payment and income tax. So Fort Recovery tax rates are not out of line with other Mercer County schools. You may be aware of that already. And in fact, they're significantly underfunded when you look at some of the areas around us and across the state. So I'll just have this slide up for a little bit. As you can see, we're 6 out of 6 in the amount of funding that each student receives in income tax payment and effective millage payment from our community. That's not by individual. That's not each individual. That's the whole community providing that amount of support to our students. So in retrospect and as a reference, we've got Solon schools then who spend their taxpayers are contributing $13,000 per student per year, which is 3 times what our community has to contribute for an education, relatively the same amount of teaching and instructional days. So we'll have that on our website if you want to refer people to that and share that information. So we're going to turn it over to more finances over to Mrs. Kanapke here.
Okay, so this is a slide that shows where our general fund is. So it has been climbing over the past 7 years. Currently, we're predicting it to be around $6.8 million. Will it be our balance this year? Going forward, though, in the next 5-year forecast, state funding, they're predicting, is going to stay relatively flat, but our expenses are increasing. So we are going to see that balance declining a couple million over the next few years if we don't have a change in our state funding, which state funding makes up about 50% of our revenue for the school district. This shows our true month's cash. So what that is say if we didn't receive any more revenue, how long could we sustain without receiving any revenue? So currently in fiscal year 20, we're at around 7.6 months, and we want to keep it around 6 months or higher. And going out in the next 5 years, that is decreasing based on the revenue decreases. And then this just kind of explains how we do some of our purchasing here. So we are a member of the Mercer Auglaize Benefit Trust, and that's a consortium where we pool together to purchase things like we go through the Southwestern Ohio EPC Educational Purchasing Council, and we do that for like our bus bidding to get better bus prices on buses. We also have like a wellness incentive through there. That's how we purchase like our health, medical, and dental insurance, our vision, purchases for our food and cafeteria. And then we also partner with the Mercer County Educational Service Center, the ESC, for professional development with the other districts in the county. We share student services with them for our preschool and our K through 12 students. And then we also do busing, cooperative busing with St. Henry, Coldwater, and Marion Local.
Hi, I'm Kelly Toby. I'm the elementary principal at Fort Recovery Elementary School. The elementary school here at Fort Recovery consists of preschool through fifth grade. So the preschool is a public Fort Recovery preschool. And we support students all the way up through fifth grade as they transition onto the middle school. I have several highlights bulleted on the slide behind me, but I think for the elementary, our biggest thing is to offer the kids a lot of opportunities and events that they can grow and learn from. Not only are we focused on the academic growth for our kids, but we also want to grow our children socially and emotionally. We want to see them become great citizens and members of the community, and we are just continuing to build a positive climate safe to their learning, and they can succeed later on in life.
Thank you, Mrs. Toby. My name is Tony Stahl, and I'm the middle school principal. So at Fort Recovery Local Schools, that's grades 6 through 8. We have we're in the elementary and middle school. It's the same building. We have about 230 students, approximately, with about 20 staff members. So a couple of things that we have, a couple successes that we've had over the last couple of months is this past fall, our eighth grade volleyball team was the MAC runner-ups. And then the year before that, this past spring, our Quiz Bowl team had their first undefeated season that they've ever had. So just a couple key highlights that I wanted to talk about and some things that we've been doing. Also new, relatively new to the middle school, is that we've started a robotics league that competes against a lot of different other schools in robotics programming. They build robotics robots out of Legos, and then they have to navigate through courses with different programs that they have to make. And so that is new this year, that they competed at places like Honda and Versailles over the last couple of years. Last year we had one team, this year we had two different teams, so it is expanding a little bit, which is good to see. This is currently our second year of being a one-to-one building, so technology from a robotics team also is expanding into the classrooms, and now this is our second year of being a one-to-one device, one device per student. So we now have Chromebooks for every single student in the middle school, so expanding some of our uses of technology there. We've also implemented several different strategies to kind of improve building culture, and overall kind of student morale. We've created an online Stop It app that you can report online bullying. We have kind of a middle school culture team. We have student surveys. We have our middle school tribes, which has been a big initiative to focus on character building and teamwork and things like that. So we've kind of worked to try to implement and build some of these things into our schedule. And also we've had a homework room as part of that to try to have students 2 days a week stay after and get some extra help and tutoring. And then one of the things that we've really worked on from a culture student leadership standpoint is we have monthly Indian Way winners, and we also try to highlight some students of the month that Mr. Brown talked about with our Indian Way. Each month we pick a few students to kind of be recognized on announcements. We have our Factor Spotlight for different groups in the building, and then we've also implemented two leadership classes at the 6th and 8th grade level that our students are now taking and offered each year. So just a couple of things that we really tried to make the focus not just on academics, but kind of a whole well-rounded student, and some of the character initiatives that we've taken I've kind of put up here with some of the other technology and other student events that we get to do. So just a couple highlights from the middle school, and I'll turn it over to Mr. Overla here.
Thank you, Mr. Stahl. I've got a similar slide up here. My name is Bill Overlook, principal here at the high school. Sorry, digress for a second. I'm not going to read the whole slide to you, but what I want you to really see is what our focus is here at the high school. And if you're in the real estate business, just as an analogy, it's location, 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 right? But in a building, it's about your culture. And one of the things that I've been in other buildings, and I can tell you this is one of the best cultures I've ever been in. I love it here, love the kids here, but the staff make this place go. And we've done some things here at the high school that has enabled that. When you look through all the rest of the data that's on the slide, you'll see, you know, for example, our kids going on to four-year schools. Average ACT is 23.4 for those kids. That's really good compared to a state average of 20. Why does that happen? Okay, it happens because we have great kids coming from a great community with a supporting culture here at the school. One of the things that I did, we just started here as a principal advisory group, where I sit down with kids and I want them to tell me, what do you like, what don't you like? Tell me. Because sometimes we can explain some of those things away, right? But it's a group, and we've done a lot of, got a lot of great feedback from them, because this is their place. This is their family here. And so we've really put an emphasis on that. Also, when you look down through the slide, you'll see a couple other items that to me really stick out. When you look at our graduation rate, I mean, that's what we do here, is that's we got to get them prepared for the next phase in their life, and part of that is to get their diploma. Last 5 years, we've been in the upper 90 percentiles. They're up there. You know, so you're looking at 99%, 99%. I think there's a 94, but on average, we're sitting right around that 97, 98%. You always shoot for 100%. But we know sometimes that, you know, there are just circumstances that you can't control. A couple other things I'd like to point out. We had a National Merit Commended Student. That is extremely difficult to do. And so we had one of those. We also had, I know Tony mentioned their MAC championships. We had a MAC championship in boys track and field last year, which was fantastic. I hope we're going to have another one here real soon, because it looks like our girls basketball team is right there. But our band qualified for the state OMEA competition for the first time in a long time. And so you go down through, but probably one of the things I'm most proud of is we were Scholastic Bowl champions for the first time ever. Okay, because that's what we're here to do. And when I look at all this stuff and you look at all those things and why they happen because of culture. They happen because of the support from your community. So for that, I want to thank all of you, because you're the ones that make that happen. So I won't, this slide, I think we'll have this posted somewhere, but thank you very much.
Yeah, the slides will be on our website and probably social media, I imagine, also. So a couple other things we've got. We're going to be developing that long-range plan. The district, the last plan, kind of expired in 18, so it had some good ideas, and there could be some continuation of some of those and some new concepts. We're going to be developing and supporting the development of the new softball and baseball facility. With this is going to be supported by the boosters, the creation of a heated bus maintenance facility next to the current bus garage. And one of the challenges we have there in the future is at some point we're going to reach a deficit spending mode because of the way inflation and the way the cost of our services, material, personnel, and utilities will go up. There's unless we increase revenue, we'll be in a spot where, as you saw on the true months of cash, where that starts to dip. And we'll try to control that as much as we possibly can, but we want to provide the same type of services. So when it comes to inflationary things, the only inflationary taxes that we have are somewhat of an income tax, can be inflationary, and the inside millage. But for the other millages, like the continuing levies that we have, unless you increase the amount of those, the amount of millage, those dollars as valuation properties go up, it doesn't necessarily increase, because the auditor will adjust the amount of millage and the effective millage to reduce it down to collect the same amount of dollars. So we don't collect it if the valuation of our property in the district goes up necessarily, except for the inside millage. All right, so in closing, we've got an exciting future ahead, and we appreciate your participation in tonight's activities. The potential for Fort Recovery and our community is obviously limitless, and we certainly hope that the residents can appreciate the concepts and really realize that they're part of a wonderful school district, as mentioned by Mr. Ovalo also. Our students deserve the best possible opportunities, and they're going to be challenged in a global economy and environment. And we hope that you realize, as a relatively new admin team, that we're trying to work together positively for the on-site leadership of our school district, with Mr. Stahl being the senior person on our admin team. We're working together to try to keep that continuity and move forward. And so, without question, any pride is alive and well. And once again, thank you for being here. And I'll be around for a few minutes to answer any individual questions that people might have. So thanks to our presenters, and thank you for being here.